Amen. If you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, go with me to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. Pastor Tim Stevens leads the Fairview Baptist Church in Alberta, Canada. On June 14th, Canadian police came to his home, arrested him, and took him to jail while his weeping wife and children looked on. What was Pastor Stevens' crime? Did he abscond with church funds? Did he have an illegal or illicit affair? No. Stevens was arrested and jailed for 19 days because he and his church held an outdoor worship service in a public park. It was Stevens' second arrest. He was also arrested in May when his church continued to meet outside their building after the government had closed it indefinitely. According to the official press release from the Alberta police, numerous reports were made against the church by citizens concerned for public health. Despite the fact that on the day that Stevens was arrested, there were only 951 reported cases of COVID in the entire country of Canada. Folks, I got to tell you, in my book, Pastor Tim Stevens is a hero. Amen. When given the choice to obey God or man, he chose to obey God regardless of the consequences. We meet another such man in Daniel chapter 6. In this chapter, Daniel's king will make a law that he cannot in good conscience obey. And in this passage, Daniel stands as a prototype for how a Christian ought to stand in a culture that is anti-God and anti-faith. What I love about Daniel is that he has the right stand, but he also has the right spirit. Daniel stands boldly, but not brashly. He refuses to compromise, but he also refuses to enter into a mudslinging competition or to attack his enemies. He will not lower himself to the level of those who are trying to destroy him. Daniel stands humbly and graciously, trusting that God will deliver him all the way to the lion's den. And what we're going to discover is that it is this combination of a strong stand and a sweet spirit that will win Daniel an incredible opportunity to impact his culture. Let's read a little bit about having a right stand with a right spirit. Look at Daniel chapter 6, verse 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. We're talking tonight about how to have a strong stand and a sweet spirit. I see three keys from the life of Daniel. Key number one, integrity. Key number one, integrity. We're told in verse 3 that an excellent spirit was in Daniel. What we read about is when Darius the Mede conquered Babylon, he set up a brand new government. He appointed 120 princes, and over those princes, three who would keep the rest in line. The king promoted Daniel, and he was set over all of the others. Now, let me step back for just a moment and make a note about this. Daniel was not a full-time preacher. He was not a prophet or a priest. Daniel was a government official. I hate to say it this way, he was a politician. Can I remind you this evening that we need Christians who are willing to enter into the arena of politics and public life? We dare not leave the running of our governments to those who do not know God. I think sometimes we get so disillusioned with politics and politicians that we forget the good that a politician can do. Just look at the difference, for instance, in a state like ours, the state of Texas, and a country like Canada or a state like California during the pandemic. I thank God, for one, for the good Christians that are in our state government that have prioritized personal liberty and religious liberty from the initial days of this COVID pandemic. Our state has benefited immensely because there are some Christians in politics who are willing to stand up and make a difference. And Daniel was a politician who made a difference in Babylon, and we need more Christian statesmen and more Christian politicians just like him. Now, Daniel's new position was interesting. In our day, we would call him the CEO of Loss Prevention and Internal Affairs. Apparently, government hasn't changed in the last 2,600 years. These 120 princes were famous for taking bribes, so it was Daniel's job to be over them and make sure that the king didn't suffer loss. Look at verse 4. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. A lot of people don't like loss prevention in internal affairs. But they could find none occasion or fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said unto the king, "King Darius, live forever." And we'll get into the rest of what they said here in just a moment. Now, this is almost predictable. Daniel's an honest man who's trying to make sure that his king doesn't suffer loss. And what's the first thing that the world tries to do to a pure and honest person? To defile him. You need to know today that if you have a great reputation, there will be those who make it their personal mission in life to ruin it. If you do right, you will be done wrong. So they went to Daniel and they tried to dig up the dirt. They hacked into his emails. They looked at his internet search history. They had a private eye tail him on the weekends. But Daniel was squeaky clean. He was faithful in everything that he did. He was above reproach. And they discovered that the only way they could get Daniel into trouble with the king was to put him in an either-or situation between God and the king. Either obey God or obey the king. They knew that Daniel would obey God every time. As I thought about these men trying to set Daniel up and dig up dirt on him, I thought about a letter that C.H. Spurgeon once received from blackmailers. Many of you know he was a famous preacher in England during the 1800s. They sent a letter to Mr. Spurgeon and said that if he didn't place a certain amount of money in a certain bank account by a certain time, they would publish some things in the newspapers that would defame him and ruin his public ministry. Spurgeon left a note at the station instead of money. Here was his reply. "You and your like are requested to publish all you know about me across the heavens." He said, go ahead and find it. Go ahead and publish it. He knew his life was blameless in the eyes of men and they couldn't touch his character. Now, I want you to listen to me for a minute. Nothing has weakened the witness of the church in America more than a lack of character on the part of those who claim to be Christians. You may be here tonight and you believe that Nancy Pelosi or Gavin Newsom are the biggest problems in America. Maybe on the other extreme, you think it's Donald Trump. I don't know. I disagree with all of those assertions. I think the biggest problems in America are pastors like Hillsong pastor Carl Lentz, who got caught having a terrible affair. Or men like Ted Haggard, who was the president of the National Association of Evangelicals in the 90s, a megachurch pastor, a champion of traditional values, who was discovered to be a practicing homosexual. Now, folks, it need not be a big-name megachurch preacher. It could be the man in your office who has the fish sticker on the back of his minivan and who leads the lunchtime Bible study. He'll be fired in a few days for looking at pornography on his work computer, and every unbeliever in the office will mock. It can be the Christian school teacher who leaves her husband for someone she met on Facebook, or the father who abuses his children on Saturday and sings in the church choir on Sunday. Listen to me. Hypocrisy among God's people has done far more damage to the cause of Christ in America than any politician. If you want to help your country, if you want to do something for America, go home and be in private what you claim to be in public. You want to do something for our country, go home and be faithful to your family. Go to work and put in an honest day's work for an honest day's pay. Don't cheat people. Don't try to rip them off. Be a kind, generous, gentle person and do that for decades. And if you'll do that, you'll make an impact on America. Daniel's integrity was the key to his influence. Now look again at verse 6. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save or except of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish this decree. Sign the writing that it be not changed, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth or changeth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now, folks, we're not studying the book of Daniel at this time, so let me give you just a little bit of context. It really hadn't been that long since the Persians conquered the Babylonian Empire. So the new king's advisors come up to him with an idea that sounded downright patriotic to them. Let's make a rule that no one can pray to anyone but you for a whole month. Darius, we're calling it the God for a month campaign. And I think God in heaven must have looked down and laughed at the plan that these guys came up with. God for a month, give me a break. Well, what was this appeal? What was so appealing about this to Darius? Well, unlike ancient kings, the Persians did not believe that they were gods. They did not consider themselves to be deity. So what could compel Darius to go for this plan and try to be a god for a month? Well, the key word is flattery. They basically say, we've all gotten together on this. It's a unanimous decision. We want to honor your greatness. Death by a lion should be the penalty for anyone that can't see how great and awesome you are, O king. And as his head is swelling, little does he know that these guys are playing him like a fiddle. They don't really want to pray to Darius. They want to manipulate him into getting Daniel out of the way and into the lion's den. Some god that can be manipulated and controlled by a little flattery and pride. Can I give you just a note here? Flattery may swell the head, but it shrinks the brain. Well, let's take a step back for a minute. Let's contrast between Daniel and the other politicians. Daniel attained success in the kingdom by effort, integrity, and an excellent spirit. The politicians, on the other hand, sought success through flattery, deceit, and character assassination. Can I tell you something? The success of the politicians will be short-lived. They're going to be lion's food in just a few verses. Daniel's going to come out of this smelling like roses. Here's the point. The only sure foundation for long-term success in life is integrity. It's integrity. And Daniel had it. And it was the key to his stand and his spirit. Well, look with me at verse 10. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house. And his windows being open in the chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled down upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. I love this next phrase, as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Now, folks, I want you to remember this. By the time you get to Daniel chapter 6, he's not the 15-year-old boy that would only eat vegetables and drink water in chapter 1. By the time you get to Daniel chapter 6, he is an old man, perhaps even in his 80s. So when Daniel hears what the new law is, that no one can pray to anybody but King Darius, what does he do? He goes right home, opens his windows towards Jerusalem. The old man gets down on his knees and he prays as he had done aforetime, as he had done 3 times a day for the last 65 years. If you want to have a right stand and a right spirit, here's the second key, consistency. Consistency. Daniel just kept doing what he had been doing for all those years. Now listen, folks, we live in a day when many Christians are waffling and wavering. It's absolutely true. Many younger Christians are compromising on biblical truths that the church has believed for thousands of years. Truths about gender and sexuality and creation in many other areas. On the other hand, many older Christians have been sucked into the typhoon of a 24-hour news cycle that profits off their fear and their anger. On the one hand, Christians are compromising their stand. On the other hand, Christians are compromising their spirit. The result is a divided church and a damaged witness to a watching world. What I love about Daniel in this passage is he is consistent in his stand. He knew what the king said, but he went right back to his room and he did what he'd been doing for all of his life. And no amount of political pressure, no amount of negative press could get Daniel to change his position. I think if this had happened in our day, Daniel wouldn't have cared one iota about what the celebrities on social media were saying. He would not have wasted his time consulting a public opinion poll or thinking about whether he'd be on quote unquote the right side of history. Daniel made a decision that he would not waffle or waver. He would not compromise the truth. And may God give us another generation of Christians who say, no matter what happens, hell or high water, I will not compromise my stand. I will not compromise the truth. What I also noticed about this is that Daniel was just as consistent in his spirit. Throughout this entire passage, Daniel's spirit towards the king doesn't change. He started in verse 3 with an excellent spirit, and he will come out of the lion's den with an excellent spirit. When the king shows up at the lion's den, here in a few verses, after it was his stupidity that put Daniel in there in the first place, you remember how Daniel greets him? He says, "O king, live forever." He was humble. He was gracious. He was respectful. He didn't say to the king, "You sorry, God-hating, devil-loving, lily-livered liberal." He didn't complain about the king or cuss about the king. And in the end, it was his sweet spirit that gave him an opportunity to witness to the king. There's a lesson to learn here. Colossians 4, 5, and 6. Walk in wisdom towards those who are without, talking about unbelievers, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Ephesians 4 and 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Did you know that even when you are standing for the truth, if you open up your mouth and let corrupt communication come out, it grieves the Holy Spirit of God. It grieves the Holy Spirit of God when our words lack grace. Listen to 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. Folks, it's not enough to have the right stand. We must combine the right stand with the right spirit. We should be strong in our stand. But if we're going to impact America, we're going to have to be sweet in our spirit. You say, "Pastor Gillett, I can't stand by and watch my country get destroyed." No one's asking you to. Don't compromise your stand. Be consistent in your stand. On the other hand, guard your spirit. Guard the way that you communicate with people. As you engage with people in the workplace or at family gatherings or on social media, care more about winning people than you care about winning arguments. Listen to me tonight. We should never let our conviction choke out our compassion. On the other hand, we should never let our compassion dilute our conviction. Right. Our compassion and our conviction should join hands and run together to confront a lost and dying world. Daniel was consistent in his stand. He wouldn't budge an inch, but he was also consistent in a sweet spirit. And may God help us. Let's notice the third key in verses 16 through 24. Integrity, consistency. Number three, dependency. Look at verse 16. Well, we're skipping a few things. We need to look at verse 12 first. Verse 12. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, "The thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not." So they catch Daniel praying. They bring him before the king and said, "King, wasn't this the law?" He says, "Unfortunately, that's the truth. And I can't do a thing, not even as the king." Verse 13. Then answered they and said before the king, "That Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day." Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king, and said unto the king, "Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree or statute which the king establisheth may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Now it says in verse number 14 that the king labored. So as soon as the king heard that Daniel was the subject of this plot, that he was on his way to the lion's den, he began to do everything he could. He worked all day long to somehow reverse this law or to get Daniel out of the trouble that he is in. Unfortunately, it's not going to work. Later on, we're going to learn in the passage that the king will be up all night. He'll be fretting and pacing the floor of his palace, wondering what happened to Daniel when he got to the lion's den. Now, guess who isn't fretting? Guess who isn't pacing the floor? Guess who isn't worried and labored all day? Daniel. Now, the odd thing is, he's the one that's going to the lion's den. We actually don't hear Daniel say a word about it. How come the king's so concerned and Daniel doesn't seem to care? I'll tell you why. Because Daniel was a man who depended on God. He knew that even if the king wasn't able to deliver him, that God was. Now, folks, this is absolutely key. I'm going to tell you tonight why many Christians are compromising their stance. They have forgotten that God is able to deliver them. Amen. If I don't wear the company shirt or lanyard celebrating Pride Month, I'll lose my job. If I try to tell my coworkers that Jesus is the only way to heaven, they'll let me go for not being inclusive enough. Oddly, they're inclusive of everything but the truth. Perhaps you're a young person here. And you say, if I take a stand in my public school for biblical creation, or I write a paper on biblical sexuality or gender, I won't get a good grade. I'll get a bad grade. I won't get into a good college. In other words, what you're saying is, if you take your stand, you might end up in the lion's den. And you very well may. But how many of you understand that if you lose your job, God is able to give you a better job? Young people, how many of you understand that he's able to deliver you from a bad grade and get you into a better college even than you were going to go to? Daniel was willing to obey God and trust that God could take care of him regardless of the consequences of his obedience. And we need another generation of Daniels who will stand up regardless of the consequences and trust that God is able to deliver us. Many Christians are compromising their stands because they don't really believe that God can take care of them if they stand for the truth. Let me tell you, this is also the reason why many Christians are compromising their spirits. You see, the king goes about a human solution. And unfortunately, there are a lot of Christians who act like every problem in this world has a human solution. In other words, the king is going to solve it. And if he won't solve it, we'll get a new king who will solve it. And if he doesn't solve it, and we see things headed in the wrong direction still, then that's when we get angry and frustrated and get a bad spirit. How do you understand tonight that a lot of the problems in our country are spiritual problems? And they have spiritual solutions. It has to be God who delivers us. We'll never look for the God solution as long as we think that the king or some other human being is the solution. I think tonight if we depended on God like we should, we'd spend less time mean tweeting and calling in the talk radio shows, and we'd spend more time in prayer asking God to do what only he can do. Daniel's confidence wasn't in the king, it was in the Lord, so he could keep a sweet spirit with the king even when the king failed him. Well, let's look at what happens next. Look at verse 15. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute with the king established may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? And the tension's high. Will Daniel talk back? We'll see here in just a moment. Now, what's the focus in verses 18 through 20? Strangely, the focus is on the king. Wouldn't you expect the camera of Scripture to follow Daniel into the lion's den so we could find out why it was not that those lions didn't have Daniel for dinner? Why didn't they eat him? I'd like to know that question. I'd like to see the angels come down and shut the lion's mouth. I'd like to know if, like the preacher said, Daniel really took a nap with the pillow of a lion. We don't know any of that. The Scripture doesn't say. The focus is on the king. Interesting. The king who would be God could not deliver his servant from his own law. He stays up all night, pacing the floor of the palace, frantic about what would happen to Daniel. As soon as the sun rises, the king runs to the tomb. How do you understand? Gods don't run anywhere. Gods don't get up early in the morning and wonder what happened the night before. The king laments. Daniel, was your God able to deliver you? Because we've been following the king all night, we still really don't know what happens to Daniel until verse 21. Let's end the suspense. Verse 21. Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angels and has shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him because he believed in his God. He depended in his God. Now, the only words in this entire passage that Daniel speaks are in verses 21 and 22. The message of the chapter, the king was not able to deliver Daniel. Good news, the King of Kings was. Amen. And ultimately, that's what this story is about. The God who is able to deliver his people when they will boldly obey him. Now, I can't teach on this passage without pointing out that, like every other story in the Bible, this story points us to another story. Did you notice some of the details that we read as we were talking about how Daniel was shut up in the lion's den? For instance, like Daniel, Jesus was examined and scrutinized, and no fault was found in him. Like Daniel, the Lord Jesus was innocent, yet sentenced to death. His own den was closed by stone. He too was sealed in his tomb. Just like the king came early to the den, Mary and the women came early to the tomb of Jesus on the first light of the day. In both cases, the women and the king discovered that the God of Daniel and the God of Jesus was able to deliver them. Daniel's king was powerless to deliver him from a law that he has made. Daniel went to the lion's den as a result. We had broken the law of the King of Heaven, and we were powerless to deliver ourselves. So the king went into the den for us. Ladies and gentlemen, Daniel was only sentenced to die. Jesus really did die. The lion really did rip him to shreds. But early in the morning, when the ladies went to the tomb lamenting and looking for the remains of Jesus, they discovered, and we all discovered, that God is able to deliver. And if he could deliver Daniel from the lion's den, and he could deliver Jesus from death itself, he can deliver you if you will take your stand for him. Amen. As I close, let me tell you this. We are all prone to look for a God of the month. All of us. In Daniel's day, it was Darius the Mede. In our day, it might be your job. It might be a politician. It might be the approval of the culture. Your God of the month is whatever you're trusting in tonight to deliver you. Let me say it this way. Your God of the month is whatever you sacrifice your stand for or your spirit for. Can I tell you, whatever it is, it can't deliver you. When you need that thing most, it will throw you to the lions. If Jesus would go to the lion's den for you, why would you look for any other God? Christian, if Jesus would go to the lion's den for you, then why won't you stand up for him? Why won't you be counted as a Christian? Why won't you share your faith? Why won't you take a stand in your office or in the hallways of your public school? Do you really care more about the approval of people than the one who died for you? If Jesus would go to the lion's den for you, then why should you sacrifice your spirit? He loved his enemies. He loved even the people that nailed him to the cross. He went to the cross with joy. And how can we say we're standing for Jesus when our spirit is often so unlike him? If Jesus went to the lion's den for us, we ought to commit tonight. I'm going to have a strong stand for him and a sweet spirit. Now let's close with verse 25. Then King Darius wrote unto all the people, nations, languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble in fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever. And his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be given unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. And I love verse 28. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Ladies and gentlemen, Daniel managed to prosper in a culture that literally threw him to the lions. And I think we can too. How did he do it? He took a strong stand with a sweet spirit. He had integrity. He had consistency. Most of all, he had dependency upon the Lord who was able to deliver him. And may God help us as we go back into a lost and dying world this week to take a stand for Christ, but to have the Spirit of Christ too. Let's pray together. Our Father, we recognize tonight that it was Daniel's stand in spirit that won him an awesome opportunity to witness to the king and really to the world. Lord, we would love to see some of the things that happened to Daniel and in his kingdom happen in our lives and happen in our country. So many times we're either strong in our stand and angry in our spirit, or we're weak in our stand and strong in our spirit. God, would you help us to be like Daniel, to have both a strong stand and a sweet spirit, so we might be like Christ. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.